Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. What better place to talk about the dedication of Solomon's temple than in our beautiful sanctuary? Here we are surrounded by the evidence of the hard work which has gone into beautifying and maintaining this congregation, done both by our forebears who purchased this building over 12 decades ago, and by some of those in this room that when we constructed the annex a little over 2 decades ago. The LCMS cross on the north wall that was built and donated by one of our former confirmation classes, the stained glass windows on either side of it, which were purchased with memorial money, the pew cushions, which are the most comfortable in the state of Kansas, the altar with its painting by a local artist, all these things point to the dedication of those who have served the church in the past and those who serve the church today, and their belief in a God who is near to them and whom they worship and serve in this place. And so it is in our Old Testament reading, where Solomon is praying his dedication prayer at the dedication of the temple, surrounded by all the beautiful gold and silver and bronze ornaments and adornments all over the temple. Now, that temple was not the first place where God met with his people, and not the first place constructed as a memorial to God. In the book of Genesis, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob all established altars to commemorate times and places where they met with God. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." And so Abraham built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then in Genesis 22, Abraham built an altar on the mountain where he was to sacrifice Isaac. And then after God miraculously delivered Isaac, they offered a sacrifice of a ram on that altar. In Genesis 26, the Lord appeared to Jacob and said, "I am the God of Abraham, your father. Fear not, for I am with you and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake." And so he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And then in Genesis 35, Abraham builds an altar at Bethel to commemorate God's promise to be with him. All through the Old Testament, the people of God would construct altars where they could call on God's name. In Exodus, God instructed Moses to have a tent constructed in which he would meet with Moses, which became the tent of meeting. This mobile dwelling would travel with the people of Israel all through their wilderness wandering. They would take it down and set it up every time that they set up camp. Can't imagine trying to do that with an actual church like this. Once his kingdom was secure, David revealed a desire to build a temple to the Lord, which was in Jerusalem, his city. And the Lord told him no, but promised that his son would build a temple. And that is exactly what happens. David makes all of the preparations, setting all of the things aside which are necessary for the construction of the temple, and his son Solomon oversees the construction after David's death. However, this temple of Solomon, in all its splendor, covered inside and out with gold, with precious metals and precious gems all over is still not enough for the God who created the world. Because this God is so much greater than the earth, so much larger than the earth. In Exodus 15, they say, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing wonders?" God is so much greater than anything that we can do, even greater than the temple. In 2 Samuel, David says, "Therefore you are great, O Lord God, for there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." In Isaiah, the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest?" God doesn't need, and God can't fit, in a temple made with hands. God is everywhere, and God is present everywhere. God created the earth and is above the earth and is larger than the earth. So how can he dwell on the earth? Solomon himself says, "Who is able to build him a house, since heaven, even highest heaven, cannot contain him?" God is so much greater than this temple, and by extension, he is so much greater than us. And so, does that mean that he doesn't really care about us? That is the question which Solomon asks in his prayer. How can God indeed dwell on earth? How can God indeed hear the prayers offered in this temple when he is so much greater than us? And so, it's easy to ask yourself the question of whether God's relationship to us is no better than that of us to a colony of ants living somewhere outside the house. Not really bothering anything, but not as though I really care what's going on with those ants. And sometimes I'd imagine it feels just that way. We find ourselves thinking that God can't possibly care about our petty problems. With all the major things going wrong in this world, does God really need to hear about my relationship problem? With all those people in Africa who are starving, does God really care about my need for a new car? With all those people in the world who are without jobs, does God really want to hear about my coworker troubles? And yet, God listens. In our Old Testament reading, he listens to it and accepts Solomon's prayer, and he listens to our prayers as well. Even though God is so much greater than us, he promises to grant Solomon's prayer. He promises to dwell in the house which Solomon built for him, and he promises to listen to the prayers which are offered within and toward that house. And yet, Solomon's temple did not remain forever. Solomon's house was pilfered repeatedly over the centuries, not just by invading armies, but by Solomon's own sons and grandsons, who were taking the gold and precious metals from the temple to bribe their enemies into leaving them alone. The Babylonians destroyed this temple and demolished the whole thing. Not one stone was left on top of another. And so, under Ezra and Nehemiah, this temple had to be rebuilt. Eventually, the Romans came in the 1st century AD and just flattened the whole Promised Land and destroyed that temple and replaced it with a temple to Jupiter. Was God really with them there? They must have been asking. And yet, instead of dwelling in buildings, God promised to dwell with his people in a different way, in a more personal way, in a more intimate way. His temple was built when he dwelt among us in Jesus Christ, who descended from heaven and was born into human flesh. That flesh was the temple and is the temple of God in which he dwells among us. Jesus dwelt among us, living and experiencing a full human life before dying an agonizing death so that he could bring us to dwell with him. The temple of his body was eventually torn down in his death, and yet that temple was rebuilt in just 3 days when he rose from the dead to secure his dwelling with us for all time. So this is what John writes about in Revelation when he says, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." God dwells with us in Jesus, and he now sends his Spirit to live in and among us, to dwell with us, so that we, his church, are his house and his temple. And so we come before our Lord and Savior in this house, not because we need to meet with him here exclusively, but because we have set it apart for him and for his use. Indeed, our Lord meets with us everywhere, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There is nowhere in this world that does not belong to the Lord and where we can pray without him hearing. But it is this church that we have set aside for him, where we gather together as his body to hear his word and receive his blessings. In this place, he has promised to hear and answer our prayers, which we pray in the name of Jesus. Nothing is too small or insignificant for him to answer. And nothing is outside his power and outside his love for us. And so with Solomon, we pray, "Hear in heaven your dwelling place, and do according to all for which we call to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may know your name, as do your people, and that they may know that this house is called by your name." And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.